Well, here we are, Luke chapter 1, the Christmas narrative, as I call it. But we're going to pick up in verse 26, and I'll read some of this. This morning's message, and every Advent will have a different message in terms of the narrative for Christmas, the coming of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And I think Emmanuel is something that we should be thinking about all throughout these next several weeks, because that's God's gift to us as he sent his son and was born in a manger for us and then went to die on the cross and become our Savior. So he sends us the baby Jesus, our Father in heaven. And there's a very important question as we think about this week, and that is, are you the Lord's servant? Picking up in 26, chapter 1, Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor, David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." But Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant with John the Baptist. And where did I go? She's been pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son, and it is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, after being visited from the angel, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. We're very familiar with this Christmas narrative, but I don't recall ever a time where I actually went back and we started looking at the basis of why these things were said with regard to the prophecy regarding Jesus' coming as Emmanuel. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 7. "All right, then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So the thing about Christmas is that we have to remember it's not about presents and hams and yams and marshmallows and hot chocolate and carols. Those are wonderful things that we shouldn't overlook as human beings, and we enjoy those community aspects of being in a family and being in a church community. But Christmas is about Emmanuel, God with us. And even the Christmas tree represents Christian faith. And in fact, the symbolization, people think it was probably pagan that started the Christmas tree, but actually it's not. And those little things that you put on the tree were the exchanging of gifts, and a sign of that. And of course, that's modeling what the Lord God did for us in sending his only son. And so this prophecy that was spoken of here in Luke chapter 1 refers back to the passage there, and also in Daniel, there's a piece. And I'm particularly interested this week in what Mary's response to the angel was. And there's a contrast here that we need to look at. And so in the passage there back in Isaiah, recall that Ahaz did not believe what Isaiah said. If we take the historical basis for what was going on in Isaiah 7, which is the reference used in Luke 1, Ahaz, to figure out where Israel was, Ahaz was going to make a deal with the Assyrians. And God said, "Don't do it," through the prophet. But he was determined that the only way that Israel would survive is by making a deal with the Assyrians. And God said, "Don't do it." And so from human perspective, the kingdom is soon to collapse, and this is totally true. The house of David has tried God's patience too far, and this is how he did it. Obviously, God's plan will never fail. He gave us Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit's, you know, obviously the father of. And so the idea of Mary and Ahaz, if you go back to Isaiah, go to Isaiah 7, and I want to show you this. So in verse 2 it says, the news had come, this is a message for Ahaz, the news had come to the royal court of Judah, Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, like shaking in a storm, trees shaking in a storm. So Ahaz was terrified that they were going to get overwhelmed by their enemies, and God told them what to do in the passage. You'll see Isaiah said what to do, but he was determined that he would not allow any scenario to change from the course of action that he prescribed, which was to make this deal. He would not hear outside counsel. He would not hear his generals. He would not hear God. He wouldn't listen. In fact, when he was actually told by Isaiah what to do, he had a response. But first, I want you to rethink about, can you relate with Mary when she says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. So she was sort of wondering, how can this be? How can I be having a baby and be born of a virgin? But she says, okay, very well, whatever you say. That's basically what she says. And may it come true. That was her response to the angel of the Lord. Ahaz's response to Isaiah the prophet was, no, I will not test the Lord like that. Now, does that seem reasonable to you at first glance? And God said, well, But I want you to understand, if you go back and read Isaiah 7 in the previous and following verses, this is much more than, no, I will not test the Lord like that. That was a clever response to Isaiah from Ahaz, but it was a complete and total lack of faith or belief in what God could do. Completely. And so he cleverly said as the king, I won't test the Lord like that. But remember, he had already determined that he was going to make this deal with the Assyrians, and he would not be moved from his position. Not by his generals, not by his council, not even the Lord's prophet would he listen to. And so Ahaz already made up his mind to create an alliance with the Assyrians. Nothing Isaiah could say or do would make him believe that God could deliver them from Syria and Ephraim. That's where we're at. In a sense, this is like a type. So Ahaz has already made up his mind. And the question I'm asking you this morning, are you the Lord's servant? And have you already made up your mind that God can't do what you need him to do? Are you already determined and believing that no matter what happens, God's not going to answer your prayer? This is the way it's got to be. This is the way it's going to go. I don't care what this person says or that person. I'm determined in my course of action and won't listen. And so there's a question that we have to address today as we think about the coming of Christ. Remember, were the people ready to receive Jesus? No. He came at absolutely the right and wrong time. Think about it geopolitically, where the world was. It's utter chaos at the time. The Roman Empire was about to collapse. They were killing Christians and feeding them to the lions. Israel needed a political king, which they did not get, at least in the world's eyes. But that ain't what Jesus' plan was. Jesus' plan was to come and be born of a virgin, a miracle essentially, announced by Gentiles, opening the door of salvation for everyone else but Jews, and then he's born in this manger according to the way the prophets said he would come. Exactly how was spoken that he would come to earth, God in the flesh is Jesus Christ, is exactly how it happened, as recorded in the New Testament, independently by 13 different authors. And even extra-biblical material like Josephus. You know, civilians, if you will. And so, we should try to make up our mind in advance that we're going to listen to the Lord. And so Ahaz's rebellion was clever because he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Well, indeed, testing like in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16, it would be repugnant to God. In fact, it says there in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16 that you must not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained at Massah. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord and the decrees given to you. So if they don't do that, they're not obeying God, of course. And so I will not test the Lord like that. You would think that from our perspective on the surface, we go, well, yeah, we shouldn't test the Lord. Are we being presumptuous in our prayers? Are we? Are you being presumptuous in your prayers? Are you presuming that God won't do it? Whatever it is you need him to do? Are you presuming that human intelligence tells us that it's just absolutely impossible that God will answer this prayer or do this work or intercede for you or whatever it is that you're wrestling with? And so it'd be easy for us. This is another way of saying, I will not trust the Lord. That's what Ahaz said. I will not trust the Lord like that. Meaning selling out. Because in this case, it was the entire nation of Israel. Well, at least the part of the kingdom. They were being attacked and soon to be wiped out. And actually, they were. Here was the end of that story about Ahaz. They were carried off by the Assyrians, just as Isaiah said they would be. That's what happened. And they were enslaved by their enemies because Ahaz wouldn't listen. And when you won't listen to God, you become enslaved to your own self. It's not an ideal that we're marching for. It's a relationship, isn't it? It's not a rule or an ethic. It's a relationship with Christ. And that relationship must be fostered in our heart. It must be firmed up by reading scripture in our heart. It must be firmed up and solidified by sharing that good news with other people, by living how Christians live, by learning to restrain your selfish and even unselfish desires. Sometimes folks want to give and give and give and give to others, which on the surface it looks really good, but actually it's ego and pride. You have to determine what that is. And some people want to give their way into heaven. And those are just other forms of rebellion. The only way that we get Christianity right is by living it out. By doing it. And having that heart relationship with God. As I said a few weeks ago, I want to be known by him so that when he get there, he won't say to me, away from me, wicked and slothful servant, I never knew you. I mean, I'd almost rather have him say, I did know you, wicked and slothful servant, but at least I knew you. And so the Bible doesn't give us, when we read a statement like, I will not test the Lord, we don't read between the lines that that's a statement of rebellion. Unless we're in the scripture and seeking it out and reading it and trying to understand it and understand the connections and context. But notice Mary's words here. She said, I am the Lord's servant. And I believe that we and you are the Lord's servant. And her response, think of it. Was it more impossible for God to have her have Jesus born of a virgin? Is that more impossible than God delivering the Assyrians, delivering Israel from the Assyrians? Which is more impossible? God delivering the Israelites from the Assyrians, or Mary having a baby born of God by the Holy Spirit without intercourse of the human natural function? Which is more impossible? And notice Mary's words. She first said to the angel, I am the Lord's servant, and may everything you have said about me come true. That was actually a statement of faith. A testing of God which grows from faith and out of faith dares to rest its weight upon God, that testing God invites. Meaning, the words of Ahaz were not inviting God's intellectual wisdom and knowledge and power. That's not what Ahaz was saying. Ahaz didn't take a moment and say, Lord God, help me, I don't know what to do. Isaiah, tell me. He didn't do that. He was already made up in his mind that he was going to make a deal with the Assyrians. Sort of like Israel right now making a deal with their enemies. Right now in the history. It's still happening. Do you see this? This battle in Israel in 2023 is of biblical proportions. Israel's enemies are not ever going to let them live in peace. And you know why? Because there was enmity created between the two, Ishmael and Isaac, back in Genesis. And it says in Scripture that they'll be fighting with each other all the way. In fact, it says they can't get along with anyone. That's what the Scripture says. Well, it's not just the people of Ishmael, though. It's all people that are the enemies of God. Malachi is a fantastic passage to teach us the difference between what I'm talking about here when we say, oh, I'm not going to test the Lord like that. Is that a statement of pride or is that a statement of faith? Good question. In verse 10 of chapter 3, it says of Malachi, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It's the only time in Scripture where God told his people to test me in this and see if I'm truthful. He invites the testing. You see the difference between the testing in Malachi and what Ahaz was facing at that point. He wasn't seeking guidance, and naturally the statement wasn't out of faith. It was out of rebellion and a lack of faith because he was going to make this political deal with the Assyrians after Isaiah already said, don't do it. And because of Mary's belief, in verse 45 we read the consequence of that. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. And there was this confirmation. Remember what the angel said regarding Elizabeth. So then she, after the angel says this, she goes to visit Elizabeth and the baby, John the Baptist, jumps in the womb. And in that scene, after the angel already said, Elizabeth proclaims, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Will you believe what the Lord has said to you? And will you trust him for your future? And this Advent is a recognition that Jesus came. And in Easter time, we will celebrate Jesus' resurrection. The acts, the God intervention in human history has already happened. What more evidence do we need? So let us go back to trusting the Lord by faith in his word, proudly proclaiming, I am the Lord's servant, just like Mary did. In verse 38, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. You believe it? What's more impossible? What's more impossible? God delivering Israel from the Assyrians or a virgin birth? You tell me. But Mary proclaims, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. In the NLT, it says, for the word of God will never fail. That's a pretty good one. Same means same thing. So, my friends, the season of Advent, as we're considering the coming of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, let us remember that. This next year, Generations is going to be seeing some changes. We got some things that we have to work through. Do you believe it? Are you committed to trusting God with this? I'm done and it's still only 11. Not too bad, huh? Worship team, would you come?